You're listening to the Maryland Baseball Network podcast. Here are your hosts, Nathan Schwartz and Jack Suzanin.
Welcome to episode 97 of the Maryland Baseball Network podcast. I'm Nathan Schwartz with Jack Suzanin. Jack, it could not have been a better weekend and midweek for the Dirty Terps. A sweep against Bryant, the first sweep of the year for Maryland, and then narrowly defeating Delaware in what might be the lowest scoring midweek I've ever seen with Maryland baseball.
Yeah, and again, they won all four games, and we were waiting for this to finally happen where we could come on. We don't have to talk about any losses. We're just going to have a fun time today, aren't we?
We're going to have a fun time. We're going to talk about those four games. We're going to have a little RPI conversation, talk about the state.
More like a RPI rant session, but
right.
Yes.
Rant session, conversation, whatever you want to call it. See how wild the RPI looks right now. And then at the end, we're going to do a college baseball names draft. We did a little sneak peek of it last week, but we're really excited about just having a random fun segment.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. I know we both have names we've looked at. We'll preface this again when we get closer to when we actually do it, but we are college students. We are taking classes. We don't have time to research every single college baseball team. If there's a funny name we missed, we are sorry, but we really aren't. We just didn't have time.
I think we got everyone. I think we got a couple good people.
I hope we got it. I mean, I don't know who you have, but I think I have everyone.
I've got some good guys. So, yeah, we'll do that later. But for now, let's talk about Friday night's win over Bryant. It was an 8-3 victory. Maryland had 8 runs on 12 hits. Bryant had just 3 runs on 5 hits. And Maryland had an 8-1 lead after the 5th inning this one.
Yeah, and it was, again, just an all-around great game for the Terps. I was on the call for this one with Daniel Stein, who, by the way, did a fantastic job in his first NBA game. So big shout-out to Mr. Stein. But, yeah, no, an awesome game for Maryland. Kenny Lippman was phenomenal. And the starting pitching, especially on Friday and Saturday, was just – you couldn't really ask for much more from Kenny Lippman and Logan Koster. 6 innings for Kenny, 3 hits, 1 run. It was unearned. I think it was an error by him that led to that run, so it's unearned, but yeah.
Yeah.
3 walks, which is really good to see in 6 innings of work because he's been struggling with the walks. So to limit that big time is huge. And then the 9 strikeouts, his Maryland high, you really could not ask for much more from Kenny Lippman.
You really can't, and he's really settled in to this Friday night role pretty well. And, you know, Bryant, shout out to them. It's a good team. A lot of good bats in that lineup. Gavin Noriega, Gavin Gregor, Carmine Petosa, all guys that are really good players at this level of baseball. But not only did Kenny Lippman shut them down, but Logan Koster did on Saturday. We'll talk a little bit about him later on. But the fact that this Maryland pitching staff was able to only throw 4 guys over the first 2 days is going to be huge for them down the line.
Yeah, I mean, you literally could not script it any better. A comfortable win. You're not using too many pitchers. It's exactly what you want for Maryland. And the offense was humming as well pretty much all weekend. Obviously, the midweek it was a different story. But all weekend, this offense was really going. Eddie has had a monster start to the year. 3-hit game.
Yeah, got some stats on that. So 13 games played. He's gotten on base in every game. He's hitting .419 with 5
That's
doubles.
Insane.
13 RBIs. Hasn't gotten that first homer yet, but he hasn't need to hit homers. He's in the leadoff spot right now. So he's doing everything this lineup needs him to do.
Yeah, and again, he's just such a steady force at the top of this lineup. But one thing I talked to Eddie about was the bottom of the lineup and how big they are for him to get on base. I don't know if he still leads the team in RBIs. I'm sure it's close. I don't have the stats up with me right away. Let me get those pulled up. But he's, you know, having a heck of a year. He's tied with Honar at the top of the RBI leaderboard. And he's had a phenomenal year, and it's going to continue. I think I picked him for my team MVP.
That's right. You did.
So I'm feeling pretty good about that pick.
You should be. 8 of the 9 guys in the Maryland lineup had hits in this game. We'll just go through the scoring plays. Eddie Akopian single. Kevin Keister hit his second homer of the season. Sam Hoenar had an RBI single, Elijah Lambros, RBI single, Eddie Hakopian, another RBI single, that one drove in two, and then Chris hits an RBI double. We talked about it briefly a second ago, but there hasn't been a lot of power with this team this year, but the fact that they've been able to go station to station and just, whether it's the walk, hit by pitch, working good at bats, getting on base however they can, and then the guys driving them in behind them, it's really just been a balanced effort 1 through 9 in the lineup.
Yeah, and I know you were talking about this sort of just 1 through 9, just keep going station to station, singles, walks, doubles, whatever. We talked about Kevin Kiester's homer and obviously how he has had a really good start to the year. Maybe it's gone a bit under the radar, I think
how
good of a start he's had to the year. But his homer, but it feels like the entire team's playing Kevin Kiester baseball, which obviously the captain of this team, but it feels like they're drawing walks a ton. They're just getting on base. They're not maybe doing it in the big power way. They have that power. You know, it's going to come out every once in a while, but they're getting on base and they're just bringing guys home. And that feels like that's what Kevin Kiester has done for this team for the past now 4 years.
Yeah, Kiester is hitting .286 to begin the year, 2 doubles, 2 homers, 10 walks. He had 46 last year.
And you got to remember, he really struggled against Georgia Southern. Like, he didn't have a great series there, and he's really started to pick it up over these last couple weeks.
No doubt about that. Not much more to talk about for this Bryant game. Tristan Sarcone threw the final three. I thought he looked fantastic. His second save of the year.
Yep, he looked really good. Again, another just steady arm out of the bullpen.
And then we move on to Saturday, and it's the first shutout for Maryland this year. A 7-0 win over the Bulldogs in game two. It clinches the third straight series win to begin the season, if you want to include the Clayburg Bank College Classic as a series.
Oh, I do. Yeah. I do. And I still say we want a share of the title, despite the fact that three teams went 2-1. I'm still saying we want the share of the title there.
Three-way tie.
Exactly.
Three-way tie for the share of the title there. Same thing as Friday night, really. You get the one big hit from Maryland, the homer. It was Kiester on Friday night. Saturday, it was Devin Russell hitting a solo homer in the bottom of the seventh. But other than that, Russell himself had an RBI single. Calarco hits a two-run single. Another RBI single for Elijah. Another RBI single for Chris. And an RBI ground out for Kevin. Same sort of thing. You get the one or two big hits, and then you file in all your other runs the easy way. Just getting a base hit and having a guy run 90 feet home.
Yeah. This team, it's rinse and repeat. And if you're winning in a certain way, you're going to keep trying to win that way. And that's what this team has been doing. May not be the sexiest way to win, but hey, what are they now? 10-3?
10-3. Double digits.
That's a pretty good start to the year. And they're doing something right, clearly.
And clearly, Logan Koster was doing something right. Oof. On Saturday, his final line, 7 innings, only 3 hits, no runs, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. He threw 98 pitches, both season highs in terms of innings pitched and pitches for him. And we expected something like this of Koster coming into the year, with him getting that experience as George Washington's Friday night guy last year, going 8 innings multiple times last year. If there's anybody in this rotation or on this pitching staff from Maryland that is going to give you the ability to go 7 every time, it's going to be Koster.
Yeah, and again, we've talked about this all year. We talked about it in the season preview. Koster was so great for GW last year, just getting length. Obviously, we can't expect 7 shutout innings every game. That's not going to happen. But if he can go 6-7, allow 3 runs to start, Maryland's going to win most of those games. So, again, to obviously have him go 7 shutout, you're not asking for literally anything else. Like, that's perfect. And he's not going to be a big strikeout guy. Had 4 on Saturday. It's about what he's going to be at all year if he's throwing 7 innings. He's a pitch-to-contact guy, but he gets outs, and that's what you need. He's comfortable pitching in jams. I know he had to do that a couple times on Saturday. He's just one of the more steady guys you'll see on the mound, and yeah, I think he's had a really good start to the year.
3 strikeouts in his first 2 starts of the year combined, and he gets 4 in that game against Bryant on Saturday. And then Nate Haberthier comes in and does a really nice job in relief, a bounce-back performance for Nate. 2 innings, 1 hit, 2 strikeouts for him after that mini implosion out in Richmond last Wednesday. But another instance where the starter gives you length, goes at least six, and then a veteran bullpen arm comes in and finishes the job. That should be the recipe for success for winning baseball games this year for Maryland. Of course, not every series is going to be like that, as we saw on Sunday in that sweep clinching win. But that's going to be huge, not only for the individual game, but when you get to Sunday, you have the ability to have multiple pitchers.
Exactly. Throw. I mean, Maryland used five pitchers on Sunday, and they were able to because they only used four pitchers total over the course of the first two games. And it's so important. Nate Haberthier has been, other than the VCU game, he's been so good for Maryland this year, which I don't think many Maryland people expected it. Maryland fans, we didn't expect, like, we were told, hey, that this is a new Nate Haberthier this year, and like we're like, okay, sure, he's been awesome. He's been amazing. really good. And if you can have that out of the bullpen, where he's going to give you six outs and not allow a run, sure, you can allow one every once in a while, whatever. If you can get you six outs and not allow a run, that's going to play. That's just so good to see Haberthier doing that, especially he had such a tough year last year. And now to be able to come out of the bullpen and shut down a team, I mean, especially bouncing back from a tough outing, that it's so hard to do that.
I've been thinking about this. You really, if you take away that seventh inning at VCU.
Yeah.
This Maryland pitching staff has been, there's no words to describe how good they've been. They've been that good. And it's just completely a 180 from what we've seen over the last 2 years and the way it's been over even the years before we got here, that this team can rely on its pitching staff. In years past, it just hasn't been the case. And you've had the power numbers over the last couple years. Now it's just a different kind of style of baseball, to where your pitchers are getting you deep into games, your bullpen, you don't have to shuffle guys in and out all game long, all weekend long, and you're driving in guys with singles, with doubles, with walks, getting hit by pitch, with the bases loaded, stuff like that. And not saying that Maryland wasn't doing that before, but it's more apparent this year that since the power isn't there, the fact that they're still able to do everything else right and still get the amount of runs home that they need to win has been really eye-opening for me.
Yeah, no, again, I agree. And it sets them so well, because the Sunday starter, I think, is pretty close, still up for grabs. We don't know who's going to be that long-term Sunday guy. But if they're going to have games on Sunday where they're going to need to use five pitchers, that's okay, because they're going to use these, like, again, not every series is going to be like this. There aren't always going to be Friday and Saturday games where they go, you know, only using two pitchers each game. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, obviously, we would love it if it did happen, but it's not going to happen. But this is the recipe for success for Maryland. This is how they're going to win baseball games and win series and sweep series. We can talk about that Sunday game. A win, not the cleanest win, but a win.
A win. Joey McManus makes his first start of the season. He didn't look great. 2 1/3 innings, 3 hits, 3 earned, 4 walks, 2 strikeouts. The walks were the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Especially in the second inning, he just was having trouble finding the zone. But Logan Barrier comes in right behind him and does a great job of, again, getting out of jams. We talked about it, how he did last week, about how in the pit game, he got out of a bases loaded jam. He enters the game with the bases loaded in the third inning on Sunday and gets a pop out and a strikeout, I believe it was, to get out of that third inning, and then cruise the rest of the way. His final line was 3 2/3, 3 hits, 3 strikeouts, and he did get the win, moves to 2-0 on the year. That's somebody that we could add to the potential Sunday starter mix.
Yes.
There's Mee Johnson, there's Joey McManus, Logan Barrier, Ryan Van Buren, Omar Melendez. Really, there's 5 or 6 options for Jimmy Jackson and Matt Swope to decide where they could go down the line. I'm not saying Joey McManus doesn't deserve another opportunity, because he absolutely does.
Yeah.
But that's been the big thing. If you can't throw the ball over the plate and you're the Sunday starter, and for the first 3 Sundays, that's been the case for the starting pitcher. Mee Johnson walks 5 in each of his first 2 starts of the year. Joey McManus, those 4 walks. And then you have a guy like Barrier that comes in and doesn't walk anybody. I think you got to give that at least a look or a chance over the next two weekends before you get to Michigan State, where you really can't afford to have four walks in a Sunday game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And this is the time to try out your new starters. Like, if McManus isn't going to work, you know, can't say you didn't try it. And obviously it didn't go well for McManus. I'm going to chalk it a bit up to nerves. Just, you know, being your first collegiate start, you're probably going to overpitch a little bit. And I think that's what happened. He lost his command a little bit because he was trying too hard to do some things. Because we know he's, you know, we know he's a good pitcher. Like, absolutely. He showed it the first couple weekends of the season coming out of the bullpen. He's a really, really good pitcher. But, you know, sometimes in your first time doing something at a certain level, it's not going to, you know, go exactly how you want it to. This guy was Maryland Gatorade Player of the Year last year. He's going to be fine. I would think they're going to give him another Sunday start. We don't know that for sure. We haven't heard one way or another. But, you know, see how it goes on Sunday against Charlotte. If it doesn't go well, you can probably try someone else. But if it does go well, keep it going.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Meade Johnson did get into this game. And another struggling performance for him. He only lasts a third of an inning, one hit, three runs, two of them earned, one walk. Another thing where he just was struggling to find the zone, had an error at the beginning of the inning. Not his error, but there was an error at the beginning of that inning for the first batter. Garrett French comes in, inning in two-thirds, two hits, one run, one walk, one strikeout. I thought he settled in nicely after giving up a home run.
I want to talk about French because he's given up a lot of – I think he's given up like a homer every outing so far.
That sounds right.
But that's been like it for him. Like – other than the VCU game where he sort of snowballed, like, I think French is good. I really, and I've been saying this to a bunch of people, like, I think Garrett French is good. I just can't figure out why he's giving up these homers. Like, he has really good stuff, and maybe he's just leaving some pitches up or whatever. I still think he's a really good pitcher, and I think he's going to be a valuable part of this bullpen. I don't know. It's confusing to me because he's got good stuff. He can strike out guys. I think he's good, but it's just they got to figure it out with him.
He's given up, you're right, a home run in each of his three appearances. He's given up seven earned over 3 2/3 innings, so the ERA up to 17 right now. Yeah. That's, of course, going to drop back down to a reasonable number after a couple more appearances, hopefully. But that's been the big thing, the long ball. Same thing with Omar Melendez. He hasn't gotten torched. But yeah, he has given up a couple of homers to begin the year, so, and especially at a park like the Bob, where there's not a lot of room out there to go track down a ball if you're the outfielders. So limiting the home runs, limiting the long ball, limiting the big plays, and most importantly, limiting the errors is going to be a big thing for not only French, but this pitching staff and this Maryland defense as a whole. The offensive side for Maryland in this one, they were down by two runs in going into the bottom of the fourth inning. That was the first time they trailed all weekend long. But then the bats came alive. Two runs in the fourth, thanks to an Alex Clarko solo homer and a Ben Nardi RBI double. GNQ, shout out Gaithersburg Giants. I know Tyler Lochte and Ben Strober will like that one. His first start in a Maryland uniform, that was his one hit of the day.
Yeah, and I think, not to interrupt you, but to go back, this is a good series to try some things out. You know, try Ben Nardi in the outfield. Try Randy Carlo starting. Like, they could shuffle some things. Try Eddie Hacopian playing in the outfield.
What'd you think about that?
It looked fine to me. I mean, yeah, obviously, I think his best position is in the infield. I really like him at first base. But, you know, if they want Clarko at first base, they can put Eddie in the outfield. He's such a versatile guy. I loved whoever interviewed him on Saturday. I forget who it was. It wasn't you.
It was Oliver.
It was Oliver. I think he asked Eddie, he was like, you know, how are you feeling? Like, have you practiced playing left field? He's like, nope. And I'm like, okay, like, here we go. But he looked fine, you know. I think he's going to be all right. I don't think he's going to see the majority of his time there.
No.
But, again, it's an option for this Maryland team. I think that's what we saw, you know, as a whole this weekend, was they try new things against a team where they know they can try new things. And that's what I feel like maybe in the past they were afraid to do. Like, they were so stuck on this one lineup. Well, why not try Ben Nardi? Why not try Randy Carlo? Just see what you have. Like, let it go. Like, let it roll. And obviously, it was big for Randy playing against his former team.
Right.
Yeah, no, I thought it was interesting the way they attacked this.
So, Eddie was in the outfield for that Saturday and Sunday game, but he didn't get his first fly ball until the seventh inning.
Yeah.
In that Saturday game. I thought that was really funny that you put him out there in left field and he's just standing chilling. Out there, arms crossed, you know. I'm sure he's never bored out there on the baseball field, but, you know, to go from first base where he's involved in a majority of the plays to go to left field where he was just not even doing cardio. He was really just
chilling,
taking a Saturday stroll out there. I thought that was just really funny. But seeing him play again at first base on Tuesday just further ingrained it in my brain that he's got to be this team's first baseman.
Yeah, I think so too.
Nothing against Alex Colarco, because I thought he played well at first base. But to have Eddie there, it's just so much more athleticism. I think to not necessarily wasting Eddie's athleticism in left field, but I think it's put to more use at first base than it is in left field.
Well, and you also can put plenty of athleticism in left field with a guy like Braden Martin.
Right.
Who is a freak athlete.
You can put Jordan Crosland out there.
You can put
Ben Nardi out there.
Yeah. So, again, I think, again, good to try it. They can do it if they need to. I still think first base is where they're going to stick him long term, especially with Colarco moving back to catcher in like 2 weeks, I think it was, three weeks.
He said after Michigan State game on Saturday that the Michigan State series is the target for his return to behind the plate, but we'll see. Nothing set in stone yet. But back to the offense for this Sunday game. Another thing where they just got runs the way they needed to. They scored. They had the bases loaded. Chris Akopian grabs into a double play. Elijah Lambros draws a bases loaded walk. They score on a balk. Alex Colarco has another couple RBIs. They score on a wild pitch, and they score on a throwing error. So even though they put up 11 runs, there was only the one homer. It's the same story we've been talking about all episode long, is that they're able to just find different ways to score. And that's what good teams do. They adapt to the circumstances of the game, and they do what they have to do to win.
Yeah, and I want to shout out Colarco for a second, because he had a really, really strong weekend, especially in that Sunday game. But one thing I noticed, he struck out a ton the first couple weeks of the season.
Over
the
course,
like, he had like 13 strikeouts for the first 2 weeks, which is, that's not good. But to see him only strike out twice over the course of the Bryant series and over the midweek as well this week against Delaware, like, that's great. And he's driving in runs. He's hitting homers. He's getting on base, too. You know, that's so valuable to this team. And he's going to be able to bring in, if you can see him hit those, like, sack flies, if Eddie and Chris are get on and they're runners on the corners, whatever, he can hit that sack fly to bring him home. That's going to be, you know, it's just another way for this team to score.
Maryland wins this one 11-7.
No one's going to complain when you score 11 runs.
Nobody's going to complain. That's what Coach Swope said after the game. Of course, we're going to take the sweep. There's things to work on, but you can't complain about a series sweep and when you score 11 runs in that third game to clinch the sweep. All right, now let's go to Tuesday. There's honestly not a whole lot to talk about here on the offensive side. Jacob Orr gets back into the starting lineup and, of course, hits an RBI single, has a multi-hit day. That's what Jacob Orr has been doing all season long. Mm-hmm. That's what we expect him to continue to be doing. He's probably not going to give you those three-hit games all the time, but he's going to be a guy that gets on base multiple times a game and gets you a single when you need one. You talked about this last week with his clutch hitting in certain situations.
Yeah.
But overall in the day for Maryland offensively, not much. Kevin Keister has three hits and a couple RBIs. But the pitching, again, is – we're just – completely stunned by how it's looked so far. Ryan Van Buren gets the start again on the midweek, goes five innings, five hits, one earned run, four strikeouts of those 75 pitches. Doesn't go the crazy distance like he did last week where he threw almost 100 pitches and got roughed up in that sixth inning. So good to see him settle back in, get the ERA down. And then Omar Melendez, who gets his first career start last week, comes back and gets his second save of the year in a four-inning, one-earned run via a homer, two-hit, two-strikeout performance.
Yeah, but Van Buren and Melendez aren't allowing too many guys on base, so if they give up a solo homer every once in a while, it's not going to kill you too much. The trouble comes when you're allowing like two-run, three-run homers in close games. But I think especially for Melendez to go four, he comes in to the game, I believe the score was 3-1 when he came in, to come into the game and only allow one run and preserve the victory when the offense was not giving you much. The offense was weird yesterday. They had 9 hits, or not yesterday, it'll be 2 days ago when this comes out. But they had 9 hits. They left 11 guys on base, which is that's a bit concerning.
They've been leaving a lot of guys on base, something I've noticed. They're getting guys home when they need to, like in the most important moments of the game, but that has been something that
can't
been
leave
missing.
11 guys on base. Yeah. But again, they won the game, and it was pretty much all in thanks to their pitching. Omar Melendez was fantastic. Van Buren was fantastic. If you would have told me that Ryan Van Buren would be 3-0 after 3 weeks, I would have called you crazy. I think he has been so good this year. Maryland has struggled in the midweeks in the past. Van Buren last year was okay. Like, he wasn't phenomenal. This year he's been phenomenal, and it's so good to see.
He's been great. I want to dive into some team stats here. 13 homers in 13 games to begin the year. Last year, this team was averaging over 2 homers a game, and so far only 1 a game. Alex Clarko has 3 of those. Chris Hacopian, Kevin Keister, Sam Honar, Devin Russell each have 2, and then Charlie Glennon and Jacob Orr have the other 2. Elijah Lambros has not hit a homer so far this year.
I know, that was my bold prediction. Well, not even a bold prediction. It was my prediction for last week. I was surprised. It's going to come at some point.
It's going to come. I'm not sure the dimensions of the park out there in Charlotte.
Look it up.
But he had 14 last year and doesn't have any this year. But honestly, I think he's been better at the plate this year. He's hitting .320 over the first 13 games, 3 doubles and a triple. So the extra base hits have been there. 10 RBI, and then his on-base percentage is .393. So, again, he's getting on base. He's getting those RBI singles, getting the walks, and doing a great job at the plate.
Yeah, the Charlotte Stadium is 335 to one corner, 315 to the other corner, 370 straightaway right and left field, 395 dead center.
Deep park.
Yeah, pretty big. Except for, I don't know what corner is 315. It literally just says 335, 370, 395, 370, 315 on their website. So
that's probably left to right.
I would think so.
Yeah.
So another 70 homer weekend for Sam Honar incoming. no, but yeah, again, Elijah Lambros, his power's going to come, but he's having a fantastic year at the plate. And I would expect that to continue.
84 walks is the other one I wanted to talk about with the offense over the first 13 games. That's about 6.5 walks a game. That's about what they had last year, too.
Yeah, I'm going to look up the Big Ten baseball statistics, but last week they were leading the conference, and I would think that this year they are probably leading the conference as well.
I'm going to pull it up, too.
I'm looking at it right now, and they lead by 20.
Okay. All right, then.
They have 84. Minnesota has 64.
That's how you do it. That's you do it right there.
That's insane. They're also fourth in... Wow. Okay, so they're fourth in hit by pitch. Rutgers has been hit by 42 pitches this year.
What?
So that doesn't mean... What?
42?
Ow.
That's insane. I can't believe that. That's... I cannot believe that.
Wow. My okay.
Goodness. 42. I'm assuming they've probably played 12, 13 games.
They've played
as well.
10 games.
They're getting 4 guys hit a game. They must have like somebody, like the Sac State guy.
Yeah, who's just been hit
on
like
their
9
team
times.
That's just been hit insane. Like, hold on. I'm
There's.
Oh, okay. So they have 2 guys that have been hit 9 times.
That's insane. That, like, dude.
RJ Johnson Jr. and Tony Santamaria have been hit 9 times each. Jonathan Volpe has been hit 7 times. And then, I don't know how you say his name, but they have another guy that has been hit 5. So that's 4 guys being hit a combined 30 times.
It's insane. I don't know what to...
What? How? I don't know.
How many did Maryland have last year? Because obviously they've had... Let's look up 2020, because obviously they had both Schlueter and Costas that year. Okay. Maryland was hit 105 times that year, which is a ton.
Last year they were hit 102 times.
So still.
Rutgers is well on its way to demolish... It's got to be to demolish the NCAA record for guys being hit in a single season.
Let's see if the NCAA has... Has
they
got to
have something, right? Another thing about Santa Maria for Rutgers, he leads the conference in homers with 5. So getting some big hits and getting hit a lot.
Yeah.
Eddie Hakopian leads the conference in walks right now with 15. I'm just looking around, looking at all the stats. Eddie's also tied for 6th with Josh Krotegrauer with the average at 419.
Oh, also, I didn't think they put Rutgers' game in yesterday on the Big Ten website, but they did play yesterday or on Tuesday, and they got hit again.
Oh, okay. So 41.
Or 43.
43. They had 3 guys what was hit it? Yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. No, because it was 42 through 10 games, and now it's 43 through 11.
Okay.
Whatever. That's a lot. Longwood in 2nd with 42.
They lead the nation.
Yes, they lead the nation. Anyways, now that we've been through how has Rutgers been hit by pitches so many times, let's complain about RPI because Rutgers, I believe, Rutgers is number 14 in RPI, which is pretty good. They're having a good start to the year.
They're having a great start. So we'll go to the top 5 here. Arkansas number 1, that makes sense. Clemson number 2, okay.
They just got a big series win against South Carolina.
UC Irvine number 3.
Who
I love
played?
It.
Let's take a look.
They've had an okay schedule.
I'm sure they've played a tough schedule.
They played Michigan over the weekend. They played UCLA at Dodger Stadium over the weekend.
They swept North Dakota State. They swept at Tulane. And they won against San Diego, Michigan, and UCLA.
Shout out to my guy, David Udagawa, out there.
Yeah. Former Wildcat.
Yeah, former Wildcat. Now
of Northwestern, there are a lot of Wildcats. We should probably point that out.
Northwestern now with the Anteaters out there in Irvine, having a great start to the year. But this is the kicker: Nebraska is 4th in the country in RPI. I haven't been following them a whole lot to begin the year, but here's their schedule: they beat Baylor, they lost to Texas Tech, lost to Oklahoma, took 3 of 4 from Grand Canyon, and swept Charleston. And that's it. So
yeah, and
they haven't really played anybody yet. And the one team they did play, Texas Tech, who's 46th in the RPI, they lost to.
Like, why is 10-2 Texas Tech 46 in the RPI? I don't. Whatever. This is our point. RPI at this point of the season is irrelevant. I hate RPI just throughout the season.
It's awful.
But unfortunately, it's important.
It's extremely important.
Whether you like it or not, RPI is important. Maryland was at, what, like 81?
We're 81st right now in the RPI. Yeah. We were 92nd last week.
And unfortunately, Georgia Southern's not doing us too many favors. They're
71st.
But they continue to lose games. They're 4-8. So like, if they lost a series to Campbell this week. If they picked up another win against Campbell, that boosts them, boosts Maryland.
Washington is 70th.
And Pitt's having a really good year. They're at 46. They're 8-1. They had a really good
Charlotte
weekend.
Is 56.
So Maryland has their opportunities
to boost their
RPI.
That's a big series coming up for Maryland. But then also the counter, if Charlotte goes to 8-8 after
they're
this
fall.
Weekend,
yeah,
they're
exactly.
going to fall. So Maryland just simply doesn't have the teams on the schedule this year where they have a lot of room for error.
I mean,
it's just the way it is.
But Nebraska and Rutgers are so high in the RPI, so like obviously it's going to change throughout the year. But like, I don't. It's so annoying, this whole RPI. It annoys me.
This is the big one. Ready? Northwestern, a team that won 10 games last year, is 25th in RPI because they just had a 3-game sweep against Bethune-Cookman. Who is 240th in the RPI.
No, I mean, again, credit to Northwestern. It's hard to sweep anyone. But the reason their RPI is so high is because they got swept by Duke.
Yeah.
Like,
and they played Tulane, who's top 60 and was a regional team last year, albeit they won 19 games, but they were a regional team. But I don't know how you put Northwestern at 25th.
Obviously, it's not a human that's doing that, but still, like, come on.
Three of their five wins have come against a team that is bottom 20% in RPI. Their fourth win was against Illinois State, who's 129th, and the season opening win against Tulane. So,
why is Louisville at 7-4, 257 in the RPI?
You tell me. I don't know. You tell me.
Let's take a look.
While I'm at it, other Big Ten teams.
They've won seven games in a row. Why are they in the 250s?
Other Big Ten teams. Indiana's 26th. Ohio State is 34th. Purdue is 41st.
Iowa 79.
Iowa 79. Maryland 81.
Penn State 86.
Michigan's 90th, but they've played a extremely difficult schedule so far to begin the year.
And so you'd think they're basically banking on the teams that they played to have
shoot
good
up.
Years,
I mean,
which they will.
So Michigan has played Oregon State, who's number 6 right now. They played Arkansas, who's top in the RPI, number 2 in the poll. They played UCLA, who's top 100 in RPI, and they beat them. They played UC Irvine, who we mentioned, number 3, and lost to them. And then they lost to San Diego, who's 42nd in RPI, and they also have a series against San Diego in 2 weeks. And they play Coastal Carolina this weekend, who's number 22 in RPI, 18 in the polls. So
Michigan has
really done a great job of getting a challenging schedule. They just have to start winning some of these games.
And oh, by the way, their Big Ten schedule includes Maryland, Iowa, and Indiana.
Nice.
Which is insane.
And keep in mind, only the Maryland series is home.
Yeah.
They play at Iowa and at Indiana, at Michigan State, at home versus Ohio State.
Unbelievable schedule.
That's got to be one of the harder schedules in the entire
has
country.
To be. Has to be. But yeah. The point of this, we could ramble on for probably about 5 hours about RPI and how much we hate it. RPI, especially at this point of the year, is completely irrelevant, but it's important, especially down the stretch. You know, Maryland's going to want to get that RPI up, and the only thing they can do at this point, the schedule's made, you know, just win games and root for teams you play.
Exactly.
So I've been checking Georgia Southern's games pretty much every day. They haven't done us much favors.
Who do they play?
I mean, they just they lost a series to Campbell.
They lost to Georgia.
They lost to Georgia Tuesday.
They played Radford this weekend. That's not going to change anything.
Old Dominion.
Oh, that's big. At Old Dominion to start conference play. Old Dominion is 13th in RPI right now. Shout out to the Monarchs.
Georgia Southern has a midweek against at South Carolina.
Oh,
they
wow.
also host South Carolina, maybe?
South Carolina's 20th.
Yeah, again, they have a tough enough schedule where they have opportunities to pick up wins, and any win against a good team they pick up, especially series wins, will really help Maryland.
Exactly. All right, now that we've got that out of our systems, and
it's time.
We talked about RPI, it's time for the final segment of today, College Baseball Name Draft here in episode 97. So the way we're going to do this, it's going to be 5 rounds. We're going to do a spin of the wheel to determine who gets the first pick, and we both want the same guy with the first pick.
Do we? I don't know.
Do we?
I might have been faking you out.
You might have been faking me out. I think we want the same guy.
I think we do.
I think we want the same guy. But right. You've had the wheel
I
up.
I have a wheel up. So again, to preface this, we are college students. We have to go to class. We run the Maryland Baseball Network. We don't have a ton of time to search up for random college baseball names.
I've got 17 names down.
I got 10 because that's all I'll need.
There's only gonna be 10 guys drafted.
We're doing 5 picks each. The only rule that we've decided, and by we I mean I've decided because it ticked off Nate, one brother.
I hate it. I hate the rule.
So only one of South and Fenwick Trimble will be drafted today.
Well, we could draft both of them, just we can't draft both of them, right?
I don't know. You know what? Forget the brother rule. You can draft both Trimble brothers.
Yes.
I just think your team would look significantly worse.
I think it would look better.
I don't think it would because you're not... We'll post, after we draft, we'll post the results on Twitter. We'll let the listeners pick. This is going to be fun. All right, so the wheel is about to be spun. Are we doing the snake or just straight one, two?
I think snake is fair.
The wheel is spinning. The first pick goes to Mr. Nathan Schwartz. So, or do you want the second?
Ooh, that's a good, let me look at my names here.
I have my names on my phone. I just wrote down names. I didn't write them in any particular order.
Okay. I think I'm going to take the first pick.
Okay.
Because there's really nothing better than Raider Tello.
Okay, there it is.
At pick number one. Iowa third baseman. You showed me a play he made on Tuesday where he was about 25 feet away from second base and spiked the throw, which started a 5-4-3 double play.
Man, I love artificial turf. no, but that was an awesome play and an awesome name and an awesome walk-up song. He has Después de la Playa by Bad Bunny, which is an amazing walk-up song. So Nate has selected Iowa third baseman Raider Tello. Let me write that down so I remember. So the first overall pick is Raider Tello.
Fellow Big Ten member.
He was the only Big Ten member I believe I had on my board.
I've got three others.
I do not have any other Big Ten guys.
I don't know if I'm going to use them, but I've got
probably
three
others. Shouldn't have said that. But I have the next two picks. With my second overall pick, I'm going to do a grad transfer.
Okay.
He currently plays for George Mason. Let me look up where he transferred from.
Oh, I have George Mason, but I think you know who that is.
I don't think I do. Anyways, transferring from Ryder, I have Socrates Bardatsos.
Whoa, not on my list.
Socrates Bardatsos, welcome to...
How do you spell that?
Actually, I want to see you guess.
Socrates?
Socrates Bardatsos.
Is that S-O-C?
Yes.
R-A-T-E-S?
Yes.
I don't know. How do you spell the last his last name?
Bardatsos is B-A-R-D-A-T-S-O-S.
Okay. That was not as bad as I thought it was. Socrates Bardatsos. Wow. All right, then.
So I'm going to go with a theme here for my two picks. In the second round, I'm going to go with another DMV college guy out of George Washington University. I'm going to go with, I hope I'm saying this right, he's a left-handed pitcher. He's a junior. He comes out of the bullpen for the Revolutionaries. It's Shugi Klein.
Another guy I did not have on my board. This is crazy.
S-H-U-G-Y and then Klein.
Wow, Shugi Klein.
Left-handed pitcher out of Elkins Park, Pennsylvania, and Germantown Academy. Shout out the Interac.
Wow. Okay, this is not... I thought we were going to have a lot of overlap.
I mean, we did overlap with Raider Tello.
I have my entire board available
right
here.
Wow, okay. See who you go with next.
Okay, I'm just going to get it out of the way. I'm going Fenwick Trimble.
Dang.
Yeah, you left him to me. You should have taken him with your picks.
I should have.
That's an easy one. The
James Madison.
James Madison Duke, formerly coached by Jimmy Jackson. Sort of.
Sort of, not really.
Sort
but
of,
yeah.
They were in the same spot.
Yeah.
And he's having a pretty good start to
he
the
is.
Year.
He is. He can mash.
I want to pull up his stats.
He had a homer against Arkansas,
yes,
I believe.
He did. Opening series of the
opening
year.
Opening day, I think he did.
Yeah. So he's a junior from Virginia Beach. Plays in the infield and the outfield. Last year, he was all Sun Belt second team. This year, he is hitting .298 with two homers, nine RBIs, two doubles as well. So pretty good start for him and the Dukes. And then now I've got a decision to make.
Yeah. I have so many guys I want to go with.
Yeah. Well, see, I got to be careful here, and I'm not gonna double up.
You're not gonna double up on Trimble's?
No, at least not now.
Okay.
I
could take him next round.
You could. But I there's better names.
There are much better names.
Okay, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. With the fifth pick, I am taking River Ridings.
Oh, he was on my board.
From Dallas Baptist.
He was on my board.
River Ridings. So he transfers from TCU.
Yep.
He's a left-handed pitcher. He was an honorable mention All Big 12 selection 2 years ago with the Horned Frogs. This year with Dallas Baptist, he's made 6 appearances, 7 innings pitched. His ERA is in the upper sevens. But he's got a cool name, so it doesn't matter.
Yep.
River Ridings.
Great name.
DBU.
Great name. So you said he transferred from TCU.
Yeah.
So I think it's only right with the 6th pick to go with another Horned Frog. I don't know if you know who I'm going with. I don't know if you have a Horned Frog on your board.
I don't think I do.
Well, I'm going with Storm Hairholzer.
Oh, yeah. Storm. I like that.
He is a redshirt junior right-handed pitcher from Austin, Texas. Made 1 appearance this year against USC. Did not go well, but never mind. He got the win.
What's his last name again?
Hairholzer, spelled H-I-E-R-H-O.
Yeah, I got it.
All right, cool. Surprised he wasn't on your board, but yes, Storm. Storm Hairholzer, welcome to Team Jack.
Was not on my board.
So we could probably go 6 rounds with this because
we could make this as long as we want.
We can make this as long as we have guys. You've taken Raider Tello and Fenwick Trimble off. And actually, all of your guys have been on my board. So
okay. So yeah, maybe.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's stick to 5 for now.
We'll adjust. With the first pick of the 4th round, which is the 7th pick overall, I'm taking a guy from Auburn that I'm I don't know, because I have 2 Auburn guys on my board. So
do I.
Okay. Well,
I have 2 Auburn guys on my board.
Now I need to think about who I'm going to go. I can't let him go. I cannot let him fall. This is a guy that I'm very happy I don't have to call Auburn games on a regular I would start dying, especially Tyler Lochte. I'm very happy he doesn't have to start.
I know where you're going.
I'm going to go with Zach Crotchfelt. again, not really much explanation needed there.
No. He was down on my board, but he was on it.
I was not going to let him fall. He's a sophomore lefty from Jackson, New Jersey. Made 2 appearances this year out of the bullpen. 2 2/3 innings pitched. 5 hits, 2 runs, 5 strikeouts. Zach Crotchfelt, welcome to Team Jack.
All right.
Who's next on Team
Nate?
So
I want to do a recap here.
Yep.
So I've got Raider Tello, Fenwick Trimble, and River Ridings.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say yours.
Socrates Bardatzos, Shugie Klein, Storm Hairholzer, and Zach Crotchfelt.
All right. So now I have the 8th overall pick, my pick in the 4th round. And do I go with the other Auburn guy? I might.
You might.
I might. I'm going to do it. Ike Irish. I got to look up his roster here. But
he's a first baseman or maybe a catcher? I don't know.
Another Auburn guy. Let me pull him up.
He was on my board, too.
He's a catcher. He was on the SEC All-Freshman team last year. Hudsonville, Michigan native. Hitting .370 this year.
Wow.
With 5 homers.
Okay, Ike.
Didn't even look at his stats.
The luck of the Irish on his side.
Yeah, last year he hit 6 homers, and he started all 58 games for Auburn. And this year he started all 11 that he's played in. And, yeah, Ike Irish.
All right.
Look at that.
How about Ike?
So back-to-back Auburn guys here in the 4th round.
All right, and then with your potentially final – if this is a guy that's not on my board – we could maybe do a 6th round. Because I think I have 2 guys left.
I've got so much. You got 2 guys left?
I have 2 guys left.
Oh, my gosh. There's so many names I want to pick. I'm not going to go South Trimble.
Okay.
The guy I was telling you about last week, I could go with.
I don't remember who that was.
He was a guy that was in the summer league I was in.
I don't remember who this was.
It's more of a nickname.
Okay.
For him. And it's not listed on the website.
Okay.
That's his nickname.
Will
so
it
I
account?
Think I'm we're gonna I don't think I'm gonna pick him though because of that reason.
Okay.
I got a guy from Western Carolina on my board. I got a Northeastern guy on my board. Lipscomb.
I have a guy who transferred from Lipscomb to another school.
I have a guy currently on Lipscomb.
I also had a guy who was drafted by the Angels last year from Lipscomb, who I'm very sad is not playing college baseball anymore.
I wanted to take Blaze Brothers.
Yeah.
But he's gone.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to go with Caleb Ketchup, but he's in the Angels organization now.
Okay. See, there's two I'm picking with. There's two I'm going to pick between. One's local, one is not. I'm gonna go with the non-local guy.
Okay.
Jaron DeBerry.
Okay.
From Dallas Baptist.
Did not have him on my board.
Another DBU guy.
I'm going to need spelling of that.
So Jaron, like Jaron Richmond, another Maryland student manager.
And we'll get him on a pregame interview.
We will.
He was twinning with Dan yesterday. And was very sad when I told him I was going to, because I was a camera guy yesterday for the first time for Big Ten Plus.
Shout out.
I told Jaron, I'm like, you're going on TV, dude. And he was twinning with Dan. So he was not happy with me.
So yeah, Jaron DeBerry. And I already got the DBU page up, so it's D-E and then Barry.
Okay.
He's a right-handed pitcher from Trophy Club, Texas. That's even a good name for a city.
Yep.
And this year he's only made 3 appearances, but he's a starter, whether it's the midweek starter. No, he's a weekend guy. He's thrown all Saturdays for Dallas Baptist so far, and he's got a 4.70 ERA. In 15 and a third innings. So,
nice.
If this is it, I've got Raider Tello, Fenwick Trimble, River Ridings, Ike Irish, and Jaron DeBerry.
Well, I'll do 2 picks because I have 2 guys left, so you can do another one.
Okay.
And we'll finish it out with 6.
6 rounds. Okay.
The first guy I'm going to go with, actually, let me confirm. I'm 99.9% sure both these guys are still in school, but just to check. Yeah, they are. We're good. So the first guy I'm going to go with, they're both grad transfers.
Okay.
Grad transfer from Lipscomb to Grambling State. I'm going to go with Tiger Borum.
Tiger Borum. All right.
Don't know if he was on your board.
No, he was not.
Okay.
Well, how do you spell Borum?
B-O-R-O-M.
Tiger Borum.
And then with my last pick, Borum, by the way, a senior outfielder from Jonesboro, Georgia. What's he done this year? He's played a lot. He's in 278.
All right. All right.
No homers. It's okay. He's got a cool name. 5 RBIs. And that's Tiger is his name on the website. So
yeah,
I don't know what his
actual
name. That's
why I didn't go with the
one
guy.
Okay. And then the last player I'm taking is actually, he plays for West Virginia, started at Baylor. He's from Corpus Christi.
Okay.
Shout out.
You love Corpus Christi.
Love Corpus Christi. Hambleton Oliver.
Hambleton Oliver.
Who is a graduate student right-handed pitcher. He's pitched a ton for West Virginia, already 13 innings under his belt. He's a reliever. He's made 5 appearances. 13 innings pitched. He has a 2-1 record and a 2.08 ERA this year for the Mountaineers.
All right.
So Hambleton Oliver will round out Team Jack.
Now, so neither of those guys were on my board.
Oh boy,
so
you can go anywhere here with Mr. Irrelevant, but still really relevant because your name's awesome.
Okay, so I think I've got my guy.
All right,
I'm gonna name the names that are on my board that I'm not saying before I say my final guy. So South Trimble.
Obviously.
The brother of Fenwick from George Mason. It could be cool to have the brothers, but I think this name is just better. Cullen Bear Horowitz.
Oh, I remember.
Is the
yeah.
guy that I was
I remember you
to
told
earlier.
Me about. Yep.
But his name is Cullen on the website. Mm-hmm. He goes to Samford. We've got Tafton Hensley.
Great name.
From Western Carolina. Kimball Schessler from Texas.
Okay.
Carmelo Muzakia.
I feel like I called his
Muzakia.
Where does he play?
Northeastern.
Yeah, that's where I remember him. Yeah. And so I think the SID told me it was Muzakia.
Muzakia. I couldn't get it. I saw the pronunciation guide, but I didn't hear it.
So. No, I remember the SID told me.
Almost made the cut. Michael Dunkelberger.
Great name.
From Lipscomb. Tate Farquhar. From Michigan State. Alfredo Velasquez from Michigan.
Okay.
Connor Throneberry from Penn State. So I almost doubled up on the berries there.
Yeah.
Nico Saltaformaggio.
Okay.
From Nichols was the other honorable mention. Mm-hmm. But with the 12th and final pick of the College Baseball Names Draft, Team Nate selects Leewood Malesa from UMBC.
I forgot about Mr. Malesa. Oh, that's a great... Oh, how did I forget about Leewood Malesa?
Leewood Malesa fell to me in the sixth
round. Wow, that's poor from me. I still like my team.
I like my team. I like your team, too.
Why don't you read your team for us? We'll put a graphic of this on Twitter so everyone can vote.
Should we put this on the NBN Twitter?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, this is going on the NBN Twitter.
All right. So 1 through 6 in terms of rounds. Raider Tello, Fenwick Trimble, River Ridings, Ike Irish, Jaron DeBerry, and Leewood Malesa.
Great job. Great. Fantastic job, Nate.
I'm so proud of myself.
I do like my team a little bit better. I won't lie.
You've got the crazier names. Yeah. I think I've got the more like...
Yeah.
You can say the name, but it's just kind of crazy.
I got Socrates Bardatsos in the first round, which I think is the best name in college baseball. That's who if I had the first pick, I still probably would have gone with Socrates over Raider Tello.
Okay.
Shuggie Klein in the second. Storm Hairholzer in the third. Zach Crotchfelt in the second, or in the fourth, excuse me. Tiger Borum in the fifth, and Hambleton Oliver in the sixth. I love my team.
See, I just think Klein is too original of a last name.
But his name's Shuggie. However you say it, it's an awesome name.
I've got Tello Trimble, shout out Mello, Ridings, Irish, DeBerry, and Malesa. You've got some crazy ones, but...
So I think I went more for the first name. You went more for...
I went more for just overall.
Overall, but...
Yeah. I wanted to throw Bear Horowitz in there, but just didn't make the cut this year.
Let me text my buddy from GW, see if he responds back with how to say Shuggie Klein's name.
Well, while you're doing that, it's a great episode. No interview this week. Aaron Arnstein will have one next week. Not sure who yet, but that will be on episode 98. We talked Bryant. We talked Delaware. We talked RPI. We talked college baseball names. And while it's on my head, I want to apologize to the SID for the team, Bryant Avery, who was a little upset we didn't mention the Bryant and Bryant connection
on
the podcast last week. So I want to apologize for that and say it now.
Bryant, there were a lot of connections this week between Bryant and Bryant, between Matt Woods, between Randy Carlo. It was a big reunion weekend.
Yeah,
was Woodsy there? I don't think I saw him.
I didn't see him. I feel like that would have
been fun.
That would have made
talk to him.
He's a great guy. The Big Ten Plus broadcast. If I would have saw him, I was on the call for both Saturday and Sunday.
I would have gotten him on the NBN broadcast. I would have gotten him in between innings.
He would have been down on the field at some point.
I miss Woodsy big time. He's a great guy, and he's doing great things.
Yes,
I think he's doing like motor preference stuff up in New England now, which is awesome.
That's awesome. Motor preferences continues to grow. We got to talk about that at one point.
Yes, we will.
We got to do a dive into that. Maybe that's an episode 100 topic. We got to start thinking about what we're going to do when we get to triple digits here in a couple weeks.
We'll figure out something special.
We'll figure out something special. But for now, this was episode 97. I'm Nathan Schwartz. That's Jack Suzanin. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.